Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life. Really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I like to say that hair is a woman's best accessory. And thanks to my friends at Way, they make it possible to have good hair days every day. Let me tell you, Way's hair oil has become a game changer in my hair care routine. So if you're ready to have good hair days every single day, you got to check out Way. Head over to The Way, theouai.com to check out their products. And here's a little treat for you guys. Use the promo code Heel Squad for 15% off your purchase. Yep, The Way, theouai.com, promo code Heel Squad for 15% off.
I'm on a journey to heal and get better in all areas of life, and I want to do it with you. Welcome to Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, where we improve and heal all parts of our lives, most importantly, our health. Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, your life improvement series starts now.
Like, I'm getting the chills now because it was just like a huge realization that I had, and immediately I just changed the script.
He discovered that the more you relax into your heart and feel these elevated emotions, it's exactly like a panic attack. Only it's a love attack.
Your body, your brain is going to react differently when you are putting toxins in. The more toxins you put in, the harder it's going to be.
In 2015, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I had a double mastectomy then. And that was the only thing I did. I did surgery and then I didn't do anything. I kind of left it in the past and figured that if I ate well, I wouldn't have this cancer come back. And 5 years went by, and on accident, I found a recurrence. I didn't feel anything. I felt stronger than I ever had been. And I had an x-ray on my hips, which revealed that my hips were fine. I had some questions about yoga, but they also x-rayed my lungs and they found over 100 tumors in my lungs. Yeah. So
you didn't have any breathing issues, nothing?
No cough, no nothing. I've never actually had any side effects from or symptoms from those tumors. And so lo and behold, I start this journey immediately on treatment. And about 3 months in, I asked my doctor for a brain MRI because I just had this feeling like I just need a check. And he said, this cancer rarely goes to the brain. You really don't have to do this test, but I'll order it if you want it. And lo and behold, there was a few tumors found on that MRI. And when I went to the brain oncologist, it turns out there were several. So my first radiation treatment for brain tumors was December 2019. And there was about 25 at that point. And then there was 50 3 months later. And
50 brain tumors.
Yeah. Yeah. And granted, they're small, but they're everywhere. They're like all through the brain. And so I had been to Dr. Joe's first week long intensive right before I got the 50 brain tumor those were found. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do the radiation because I have so much work to do on myself that if I don't do this, these things are going to get out of control.
So, they already were out of control. You're like, I need I need to buy some time while I'm doing the work.
Yeah, exactly. So I did the treatment, and every 2 or 3 months I get my brain tested, and every 2 or 3 months there's been more tumors and a lot of progression in my body as well. So it moved to the bones. It's all through my spine, pelvis, liver, thyroid. And I just, after Dr. Joe's first intensive, I just thought, I'm going to beat this. And I knew it from the beginning, but I was really stuck in that victim mentality where I just felt bad for myself and this is unfair. And going to his workshop made me realize, like, okay, nobody else is a victim that's getting on that stage. They're all like confident, surrendered into their life. And so I'm going to just walk this path and really believe that even if I get really bad news, it's all part of the healing process. So I continued to have brain tumors discovered and radiated for the next couple of years. And this past December, so 2 years after they were originally found, by this time I'd had over 150 brain tumors radiated from my head, and hence all the new curly hair. And they found more. And the finding was that there were several new tumors, and my doctor had already scheduled the treatments. Like, we've been through this a million times. So he already had me scheduled. And I said, what do you think about me just going to on my Maui vacation for Christmas? I'll be gone for, you know, from now till about a month. Can we do the treatment after? Because I really don't want to be tired and not able to be with family. And he was awesome. He's like, sure, that sounds great. So I went to Maui and I decided to really double down on the meditations and had incredible healing throughout my body on that trip. I'd had a really hard time even getting out of bed and walking the 6 months prior to that trip. And I was feeling like, wow, this is how people die from cancer. They get sedentary and then it just takes over the body. And so while on Maui, I started walking the beach and then I started running on the beach. And this was just unheard of for me because the cancer had gone into my hip joints. And when I got back from Maui, I had COVID, so I extended my time to about 6 weeks from when they found the new tumors. And I went in and had another brain MRI, and we scheduled the days, and I was ready to go, and I was fitted for my mask, and everything was ready. And the next day, I received an email that said, great news, there actually aren't any tumors there anymore.
So how many disappeared?
He originally said several. They scheduled me for 3 days of treatment, which is anywhere from 20 to 40 tumors because they take about 5 to 10 minutes to treat each of them. So they split it up and they were not there. And he had done the original scan. He had done a detailed, mapping and put it over my previous scan and said, oh yeah, there's definitely new things here. And when I came back, they were gone.
I've heard Maui has really healing energy too, which is interesting. So question, because, you know, sometimes this work can be misinterpreted where it's like, oh, you go to the event and you're going to be healed, or you start meditating, you're going to be healed. You obviously were doing the work and getting worse. So what do you think was happening, and why do you think you were getting worse even though you were doing all of this work?
Well, Dr. Joe says something exactly to this point. He says, sometimes these things have to get worse before they get better. And that happens with energy and also with different types of treatment kind of works in the same way. Like the tumors are aggressive, and you can imagine their like personality is that they want to stick around. So I just heard that on stage. I heard him say that one time, and it really sank in, like, okay, so that like helped me through those really hard times where getting those scans where, okay, now it's in your liver and now it's in your thyroid. And I just, it took me 2 years really to get to the point where now I just say, whatever. But like, I don't even pay attention to the scans because I believe so strongly in my healing. And along with this brain experience that I had, I also had a PET scan shortly after that showed almost 50% decrease in the metabolic intake into the tumors. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, I know that Dr. Joe's work has helped heal my mind and my perception of myself and the world and reality. And my body just needs to catch up. Like the cancer is, it's in the bones. It's in the deepest part of the body. So of course it's going to take a little bit more time to heal. And
when you're on the go 24/7, like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them.
With summer upon us, friends, hair is going to be even more important. Yes, we've got humidity, we've got sun, we've got all kinds of things. And sometimes it's hard to find the right shampoo for your hair. Everyone's hair is so different, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why I love Way. They have different shampoos depending on your hair type. Want volume? Find hair and conditioner will give you that extra oomph you need. If you need some moisture and a little extra bounce, find your happy medium with medium shampoo and conditioner. And for my peeps with thick hair like me, give your hair the hydration it deserves with thick hair shampoo and conditioner. Plus, you guys already know Way carries some of my favorite hair care products I use all the time, whether it's the leave-in conditioner, which is my go-to, or the hair oil. They give my hair this hydrating refresh all summer long. Wash your way to healthier hair. See what I did there? With shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to The Way, theouai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theway.com, theouai.com. Use the code Heal Squad. Your hair deserves it.
That first intensive, I was definitely like, I'm going to get a healing here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go and I'm going to get my brain scanned and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, everything's gone. Well, the opposite happened, right? Because I was like really trying so hard, like, okay, maybe this meditation will get the healing.
That's how I feel. I'm like, I know the next one, it's going to be gone.
I'm going to feel it. They're all going to like make some feeling in my head. And actually when I got that first 50 diagnosis, I threw myself on the bed and I didn't get out of bed for 7 days. Like I just was in a totally different place in my mindset then. And now, I mean, I haven't gotten any bad news for a while. So, but when I did, it was like, okay, we'll just keep going. We've done this before and we know we're going to heal.
So you knew you were in progress.
Yeah.
But you also said something to me about you had so many things you needed to change. So you knew that you couldn't be healed until you changed those things. Tell me about that.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. My first intensive with Dr. Joe, he said something like, you need to, some of you will find that you're going to break social contracts with certain people in your life. And I sat in the audience and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to break up with my boyfriend of many, many years. Like, how am I going to do this? But I knew that I needed to do that because at the time, like cancer is very hard on the person, but it's also hard on caregivers and the emotions and the fear that come with that. And he was very scared. And I needed to be in a position where I was just like taking care of myself and not putting energy towards someone who was scared about me dying.
Yeah. Cause you don't have energy to be worried about him worrying about you.
Right. Right. And so that was like the biggest thing. And that took me about 7 months to come to that final decision. And we just to finish out that story, we took a year and a half apart, completely separate. And we have come back together in Maui on that healing trip. And he has been to Dr. Joe's workshops as well in that 1 year and a half and completely taken on the work and changed his mindset. And now he's my biggest cheerleader. Like he believes in my healing maybe more than I do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that was one thing I needed to change. And also just like ancestral stuff that has been passed down to me, like being in a space of worry all the time and creating events that aren't happening, you know, in my mind. Like if you have cancer and you're just like envisioning your death, then that's where you're going to end up going. So I had to really rein that in. And I think the final piece to that came in January. Like the last thing I needed to change was my attitude towards myself. And there was one doctor that I work with now who said, what are you missing? Like you're doing all this work, like you're doing Dr. Joe, you're eating properly, you're taking all the supplements and doing all the injections. And what are you missing? And I went home that night and I looked in the mirror and I said, how can a body heal if I have never liked my body? If I've always had this
just got chills.
Yeah. A judgment. And I've like, and I realized like, oh my gosh, I look in every mirror, in every window, and I judge myself all day. And it was like this huge, like I'm getting the chills now. Cause it was just like a huge, realization that I had. And immediately I just changed the script. And every time I would catch the mirror, I'd be like, I love you. You're so beautiful. And you're doing such a good job. And you're so strong. And now I don't look in the windows anymore. And that was in January. And that was like the final, okay, the old me is in the past. And that's where the cancer lives. And the new me is here in the present. And there's no space for that.
Wow. Queen, what are your thoughts?
It makes so much sense. I have had these gnarly stomach issues for a long, long time. And honestly, a couple weeks ago, I was like, listen here, kid. You have been hating yourself forever.
I know. Forever. I told you. Tell it. You love
forever.
It.
Forever. Yeah. I've been hating myself forever. I mean, whether it was like eating disorder, starving it, like whatever, this whole journey. So I feel that very intensely. And I think that like, it's a common theme for everyone is that we don't like ourselves, or especially women. We're so hard. Oh, our body needs to look this way and look this way. And it's just like, it just manifests in all this icky stuff. How is it going to heal? Like you said, if we are just nasty to it. So
yeah,
I feel that.
And imagine, you know, just surrendering all of that because it's hurting you, not because you're never going to look like that person. It's just hurting
you. It's hurting you.
That's it. Uh-huh. Just let it go because it's hurting you and you are contributing to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you do in terms of like the physical work, like with Dr. Joe, that I know everyone always wants to know what meditations. And in fact, we helped each other when we had our call. I said, you know, I'm doing the pineal gland meditation at night and I definitely feel amazing. But when I'm doing the energy center work, I'm not feeling anything. And I want to feel stuff. And she suggested the blessing of the energy center is number 8 that is available, and how she was doing it and having great results. So I did it that day and everything was on fire. Like I felt all of them, like it was like V8 engines on all of them. And I was like, whoa. So
yeah, you guys have to explain all of this because I'm like, huh?
Yeah, there are different meditations you can buy online.
Okay.
And you're working with, like, some people call it chakras. We're talking about energy centers. And you're focusing on them and getting them to harmonize and work with each other. But that one, like, that was mind-blowing because I was like, oh, okay, I can get there. I got it.
So cool.
So share with us what your things have been. What have you liked? What kind of process are you doing? How much of it are you doing?
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show, or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
Yeah, I'm doing meditations every day, the longer variations. I feel like he has some shorter ones and then some longer ones, depending on how much you've studied with him. And I definitely hit a longer one 99% of the days in the last 2.5 years. I've definitely missed a few days here and there. And I think that's something to say out loud because, you know, it's, I don't want to sit here and be like, well, I meditate every day.
Yeah.
Most days, 99% of the time, I do.
Did you feel off when you didn't?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
and I like felt all the voices coming back in my, like, yes, the old pattern. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I need to sit and harness my body back into this present moment.
Yeah. Anytime I don't want to do the pineal gland, I negotiate with myself sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, no, but I'm just too tired. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. No, you won't. Get up, bitch, and do it. You're going to feel better. And I do. I feel better. And if I don't, because I tested it, it's just not okay. So go ahead. Sorry.
No, you know, and when you have those conversations, I feel like I have them too. And when I choose, like, to put it off and I let all this other stuff that doesn't need to be done right then in my life, and it creates more stress. So and I've recently started doing multiple meditations per day. So that has been like every person who's told their story up on stage about healing from stage 4 cancer is saying the same thing. I went all in with the meditations.
Me too.
And I meditated in the morning and in the afternoon and sometimes 3 times a day. And I'm getting the chills right now because Eddie and I, my partner, we had just a sit down after we were just in Denver with Dr. Joe at the fall advanced follow-up and said, we need to go stronger. We need to go more. We need to be in this energy more. And so we started doing evening meditations, and the most healing meditation that I just started doing this week, as far as like feeling love and feeling loved, is the higher love meditation that I started doing with Eddie. It's a partner, committed partnership meditation. So that on top of, you know, my solo long going into the void and creating my future life experiences, that love, higher love, is really, really special. And we both are feeling that right now.
Wow. So cool. So when do you have another appointment to see? Cause you're like 50% better, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
When is your next appointment?
In a week.
Oh my God. So in a week, you're gonna get results. I'm gonna send amazing good energy. You are my new 4-minute mile, because if you could get rid of that many brain tumors, I know I can get rid of one. And I'm so grateful for you sharing your story, because when I heard it, you know, with brain tumors, there's nothing they can do other than chemo and radiation. And I've never believed in radiation for me. It scared me because I had my mom do radiation. I'm so grateful that you have been able to do it and didn't have any side effects. What was the radiation that you got called?
Cyberknife and gamma knife.
Got it. I have heard really good things about gamma. Mm-hmm. Where did you get that done?
In South San Francisco.
At what hospital?
I'm a Kaiser member, so it's actually really beautiful to be able to have that. And I hold the record for number of brain tumors radiated out of somebody's brain.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, and I wrote a quick question down here. What did the doctor say about the fact that you had so many going up there?
My normal oncologist, who deals with my body, he reached out to my brain oncologist and said, my brain oncologist reached out to my normal oncologist and said, please, is there anything that you can do to stop these from going into her brain? And he said, no, I can't do anything. There's nothing that she's doing that crosses the blood-brain barrier. And so there's no answer.
Yeah. It's interesting because my mom, for her brain tumor, we did have good success with chemo. And they say that it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. I mean, we did a lot of things, but she did respond to chemo. But yeah, you're holding a record for a reason, because I've never heard of so many. I have heard, I had a young patient that I met who was getting lots of brain tumors. Like, they just kept coming back and they kept reoperating. But I have not heard of that many. Do you feel like there's any kind of emotional component or any reason why you were getting so many? Have you made any connections on that yet?
Ooh, that's a good question. I haven't thought about it, but in the moment right away, it's like all the changes that I've made, they really all had to do with my mind. So that would make perfect sense. And I think that, like, something I want to add is I've advocated for myself with these treatments, because the treatment is actually full brain radiation for what I have going on. And I honestly didn't do it at first because I wanted to protect my pineal and pituitary gland. Yeah. After I had studied with Dr. Joe, I was like, they can't I can't radiate my glands. Like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
So every time there's been more, my doctor just says, I plan to treat this with CyberKnife or Gamma Knife now. But just so you know, whole brain radiation is the standard of care. And I've just said no, because it's so intense.
Yeah.
And he actually, he agrees with me that treating them this way is okay. And it's not offered to a lot of people. So I feel like when you're in the position I'm in, advocating for yourself is like number one, because whole brain radiation, you know, could be recovering for several months and on many different drugs for memory preservation and all sorts of things like that. And CyberKnife, it's like, I get a little tired, maybe a little headache the first day, lose my hair wherever they did it, and then move on and continue with life and continue with this work.
Wow. What were some of the mind changes you think you had to make? Because I do see that connection. And I know even with what my mom and I had, I know where they come from. And so it's everything that's going on in here. So tell me a little bit about that.
I think the biggest change I had to make was not being a worrier anymore. That's been something I see in, you know, my sisters, and we talk about it, you know. So I have two sisters, and that we watched our mom worry about money, worry about being a single mom, worry about her career. And my mom passed away from breast cancer when I was 17. She was 44. She was really young. And that was like the first thing that I had to focus on. And then the second thing was to like go to my doctor's appointments, because for so long, like I was so scared of this potential future that I literally created from when my mom passed when she was 17. I started telling myself, well, everybody always says you're just like your mom, and so I'm probably going to die of breast cancer.
Before you even had it.
Yeah, that was from 17 years old to my first diagnosis at 31. And when I was diagnosed, my best friend at the time, she said, you know, this has been your biggest fear. Like she knew that that had been something that I had always, you know, and I always told the story of my mom dying, and I just like lived in that experience. And so I had to really shed that whole thing. And I had a hypnotic moment with a woman on Maui, and she asked me like what the message I was getting at that time was. And I got this moment that just said, like, just because your mom died of this doesn't mean you have to. Like, this is the time to change the story. So that really helped me shift into a different mindset for sure. And, you know, attending the appointments, like I put it off, she put off her appointments. So when she had breast cancer at 37, had surgery, and then didn't go. And then when she went, it was too late. It was everywhere. And she passed away 3 weeks later after her diagnosis. So I made that mistake in between my surgery. I kind of went hands off. I was like, I'm not living in the cancer world. I'm done. They did surgery. I'm not going back. And I went for too long.
Wow. So, yeah. So
but I'm
as Dr. Joe said, our thoughts are powerful. They carry frequencies. I said the same thing. I said, God, I wish you gave me this tumor because I could handle it better. I didn't want her to deal with it. Watching her and having to worry about her made it so much harder for me. And so then, boom, guess who got one a couple months later? We're very powerful manifestors, the good and the bad.
Totally.
But I do think that these happened for reasons, because we are evolving and growing and shifting and changing. And the next thing for you was also loving yourself, right? So don't you love the world you're living in now way more than the world you lived in before you were diagnosed?
Oh my gosh, I'm so much happier.
Isn't that bananas? Like, Evie, the same thing. It's the best, worst thing ever, but you know, you can evolve past all of it, and it can be there for you, not to you, for you to change and get better. So, wow.
Yeah. I'm so grateful. And it's like Dr. Joe says, you know, if our thoughts can make us sick, wouldn't it be the same that our thoughts can make us well? And wow, like I really hang on to those words because I know that, like, I don't blame myself for getting cancer, but I know that I contributed to this disease having a home in my body, and I'm kicking it out. It's done.
Wow. Yeah. It's like, as you do the work on yourself, you are kicking all of that because it's attached to that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dr. Joe, you talked about relaxing the heart and you said you have a way to do it. How do we do it?
It's not something that you don't know how to do. It's just something that we want to make a skill for you. And so when people, first thing they have to do is they have to overcome their survival states. They have to overcome their programs. They got to be willing to sit with themselves long enough to wonder what's on the other side of I can't, or it's too hard, or I want to give up, or this sucks. What's on the other side of those thoughts? Those are just programmed thoughts. What's on the other side of this emotion called guilt or this emotion called frustration? What's on the other side of it, right? So you get people to a certain point, you give them a little bit of help. But the key then is we've done studies on this. If you close your eyes and you place your attention on your heart, turns out where you place your attention is where you place your energy, right? So if you can put your attention on your heart and not your cell phone, and you can keep it on your heart and feel it and experience it and pay attention to it. By paying attention to your heart, you're actually giving it your energy. Now, your heart tends to feel different emotions than other parts of your body. And what emotions it loves to feel is love, compassion, care, kindness, gratitude, inspiration, freedom. These are elevated emotions. So if you could put your attention on your heart, we see from the technology that we built, in time, and not a very long amount of time, just a few minutes, you'll start to see this very low frequency of the heart start going up, which means the energy that's indigenous to the heart, what the heart uses only, you're actually feeding it. It's it energy. So if you could do that then, and then you can slow your breathing down. When you slow your breathing down, you slow your brainwaves down. We've measured that thousands of times. So instead of the short breath or instead of this kind of shallow breath, you really work on taking long, slow breaths through your heart. Inhale with the intention of relaxing. Hold it with the intention of relaxing while you hold it. Exhale with the intention of relaxing. Blow all the air out. Hold it for a few seconds. You're not going to die. Relax again. Inhale again. And just do a series of three or four or five or six of these, depending on working with your body so that it starts to feel safe again. That's what it is. You slow your brain waves down, you slow your breathing down, you slow your breathing down, you convert from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic, and that's what we see. Then all of a sudden we see the person's parasympathetic nervous system go up and the sympathetic goes down. What does that mean? They're moving out of stress. Okay, the body's moving into that state of growth and repair. Now put your attention on your heart. Now do something really cool. Amplify. That's the amplifier. That's the creative center. So what do you want to feel? Like, what emotion do you want to feel when a future experience happens? Whatever that is. Feel the gratitude. Feel the joy. Feel the freedom. And breathe and feel and feel and breathe and keep relaxing into your heart, keeping your attention nowhere else out of the millions of things you can put your attention on. That's your target. And you work with your body and you breathe and you feel. And as you start relaxing into your heart, you keep working on relaxing into your heart and you feel it. You feel that emotion. There'll come a moment where that energy will naturally start moving up to the brain. And when that happens, the survival centers shut down. Brain moves into alpha. You see more in pictures and images. You could take it's like taking a sheet of paper, a sheet on a bed and going like this. The heart sends this propagating wave right into the brain, just follows, boom, right after the stroke volume, and it's telling the brain to be creative, to dream, to be, you know, to be unlimited. So the more you do that, here's the key. The more you do it, the more it becomes a skill. Now, when a person has a panic attack, right, what they do is they mismanage their attention. They picture the worst scenario that could possibly take place, and then they say, no, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? So they're making it actually 10 times worse, because if you prepare for the worst, there's always better chances of survival. The problem is they're combining that image in their mind, and they're actually living the experience emotionally. And so they're taking that thought and that feeling, that image and that emotion, that stimulus and response, and they're conditioning the body subconsciously to become the mind of fear. After a certain point, when the body's that out of balance, it will have a panic attack. Try as you may to control it with your conscious mind. Can't. You programmed it subconsciously. Then it gets worse, because after that one, you can't anticipate when the next one's going to happen. So you start getting ready for the next one. And that's what exactly starts the cycle. Okay. So what we discovered, that the more you relax into your heart and feel these elevated emotions, it's exactly like a panic attack. Only it's a love attack. So we're looking at people's hearts for 24 hours. We see them sustain this beautiful coherence, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes. They get good at it. They can do it now. They know it feels really good. But then all of a sudden, they're wearing the heart rate monitor and they're not doing a meditation. And their heart is in coherence for an entire hour. And they're unpacking their suitcase and they're getting ready for bed. And this spontaneous feeling of love, just the body starts wanting to feel that, because it's been conditioned to feel that, no different than being conditioned to fear. So we have to practice sustaining it. That's the key, right? So if you can sustain it more and more and practice with your heart, it'll get better. It'll get deeper. It'll get richer. It'll get more profound. It'll keep changing as you keep doing it. And for me, it's still changing. It still changes for me. So simple technique, rest your attention. And then after you rest your attention in there, slow your breathing down, bring up an elevated emotion, feel it within you, tune in, radiate it, shine, I don't know, whatever it is that it is for you to glow in your heart there. And then we see this parasympathetic nervous system drop down. And here comes the sympathetic nervous system coming up. And now the person's relaxed in their heart. And they're moving into this gamma brainwave pattern. All of a sudden, waves start building on waves. They're standing waves. And all of a sudden, right up to the brain, and the person is out of the program. They're conscious now. They're relaxed in the present moment and awake in the brain. That sympathetic arousal is awakening the brain, creating that wonderful feeling of wakefulness, of bliss, of ecstasy, of a joy for existence, a gratitude, like I love being alive. And when that occurs, pro-social networks in the brain switch on, and instead of being protective and separate and survival, those pro-social networks cause us to want to connect and commune and form tribes and form communities and take care of one another and support each other and love one another and heal one another and shine for one another and inform one another and honor one another and respect one another. That's what happens when this center kind of opens up, and it's a different consciousness. It's an emergent consciousness. So we tend to be more present and appreciative when we're truly in this state.
And that's why It's mind, body, and soul healing. All of this work is healing everything.
Yeah. Well, I think, if you want to just touch on the soul for a second, I do think that, the soul's really interested in adventure. It really wants new experiences, right? And it can't go on to the next experience if it's stuck in an emotion from the past. It can't go. It can't go because that emotion's keeping the person anchored to the memories and the stories that go along with it. I would never tell a person to relive their past. I would always tell them to just overcome the emotion, because the memory without the emotional charge is wisdom, and that's what the soul wants. Like, I'm done with that. I'm done. I got the wisdom from it. I got all of eternity. I got a long time to figure this out, so I might as well create the next experience. So I think they all heal kind of simultaneously, one with the next.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that happened for me too at the event was, and I didn't realize that you see so many of the things that you need to fix or you need more of. And I was like, oh, I started feeling my heart, and I realized I wasn't loving myself. I wasn't loving my brain. I wasn't loving my body. And so now I have like that whole practice every day where I tell myself that I love myself. I tell myself what I'm proud of or what I've done that was good and what I'm working on. And I tell my brain that I love it and my body that I love it.
Don't let your heart love your brain. Just like it's basically when the heart and the brain are coherent, there's a love affair.
Yeah.
Between the heart and the brain. It's one of the most beautiful things. It really is a love affair. The heart, well, I'm telling you, it just loves the brain. It's an amazing thing.
And love and gratitude will heal too. And it's like the hippie stuff was kind of real. It's like, it really is about love and having compassion for people where they're at, because they haven't gotten to that next level yet. They haven't gotten a tool yet that they need, whatever it is. So I think that was another thing that I learned. I mean, I could talk to you for hours about the things that I learned. I want to know one last thing. What is your vision from here?
Yeah, well,
Does this go? Where do you go?
Gosh, there's so many wonderful things that are happening right now just with our research. You know, I was on the phone with one of the top researchers in our scientific team, and just every day, the data that we're discovering is so important for people to know. I want to give people my greatest understanding of the truth and numerous opportunities to experience it. I want to free their minds and open their hearts with a simple formula that leads them to a door, right? A door of unlimited possibilities. And I want the door to show people that they are greater than they think, more powerful than they know, more unlimited than they could ever dream. And I think by providing people the science in taking it to a point where it's understandable and digestible, changes a consciousness. It changes a collective consciousness. And the testimonials are so important, because those 4-minute miles are opportunities for people to believe in themselves again, because someone else is doing it, right? So an emergent consciousness, emergence in biology, you know, those flocks of birds and schools of fish that are moving and behaving in the same way. There's no leader in that process. It's not a top-down phenomenon. Everybody's leading, right? So the coming of a new consciousness is, it can't be done with the same consciousness that's created the problems that we have in the world today, you know? And I think no matter what you believe, I think one thing that everybody is aware of, that something doesn't feel right, you know? So providing people with the information, the right information, that allows them to believe in themselves and to believe in possibility. The side effect of all of this is some really cool things happening in medical schools, where they want to investigate what we're doing and bring it into medical schools, in operating rooms now, with Navy SEALs, and veterans with trauma. We are working with prisons and
that was amazing. Actually,
a lot of
those
prisons.
Stories.
Yeah, some great prisons, and nobody's talking to these people about why they did what they did and what it really means to change, especially the ones that are going to walk out into the same environment, you know. So we're working with lots of companies and organizations around the world and teaching them what true change means and the neuroscience of culture and how you change a culture, what it takes to change a culture, and what it takes to change individuals. So, and then, you know, then there's all kinds of fun things. Like I'm so invested in our youth community right now, because they are the seeds of the future. And they're going to have to resolve the problems that were given to them from a greater level of consciousness. And they have to learn the principles of leadership. They have to ingrain that in them and embody it. They have to understand their hormones. They have to understand values. They have to understand how to create from the field instead of from matter, so they can short the distance between the thought of what they want and the experience of having it without having to work so hard to get it. And so we're investing a lot of my time and energy into our youth. And every event that we do, we have over 100 kids under the age of 25 that come, and they're very passionate. And I take time. I go and see them after I walk off the stage or at the end of the day, and I talk to them, and I say, listen, I don't care if you go to school or you teach yourself, just get really, really, really good at one thing. just own it. Just know that you're the best at it. You do that, you'll always be valued. So, so many crazy things, so many wonderful things are happening with where we're at right now. So I'm pretty excited.
I like the idea for, I know you're getting close to be able to go to children's hospitals and do coherence healings. And
well, we had a woman in the event in San Diego who is the top administrator for a children's hospital in Mexico City. And she had a profound, profound healing
really?
From her disease. And she's ready, you know, and I'm not going to do it until I have the data that shows that our community, one out of two times can produce a change that's 8, 9, or 10 out of 10 in a person's health. When we're 50% and we have all of our, all the research that we're doing with all the questionnaires and all the epigenetic studies we're doing on the HEALEs and the heart coherence. You know, we're measuring to see if everybody's in a state of coherence when everybody's in the, you know, in the cage, when they're healing another person. We're looking at the data. So when our data is all sorted out and we're 50%, that's when I'll be very comfortable in walking in there and changing children's lives. You know, children with cancer and children with tumors and children with all kinds of health conditions. We're seeing crazy stuff happening with this orphanage that we're working with in Mexico right now, with, you know, kids born with a lot of health conditions and tremendous reversal in their bodies. So it's pretty cool.
Thank you. Because this all started with you believing that you could heal yourself. And think of that ripple effect now, how massive that one decision to say, no, I'm going to go do this myself, and to believe in yourself. You've shown so many people that they can have that same belief in themselves and that they can heal themselves. So thank you, because I look forward to calling you after my next MRI. I have very, very vivid visions where Dr. Black walks in the room and he has his same stoic face. And I'm like, just tell me, don't beat around the bush, tell me. And then he tells me and he says, you're a remarkable young woman, because that's something he would say. And then I start screaming and I roll around the ground like a pig and shit, and I get so excited. And then I see myself on stage giving my testimony. I have very, very clear visions of how this is all coming together. So I can't wait to give you that call. And I am so grateful. Like, forever grateful.
Oh,
okay,
you.
Before I cry. Oh, thank you.
I think if we could just focus on foundation, I already got a lot of good tips from you on how you built a foundation from less, to me, I wouldn't say nothing, because again, you had nice, good parents. You had a body that would breathe and stand and walk. But let's talk about building that foundation. And we I think what we put into our bodies too, is something that we should go over as well. Like, let's talk about that though, because before we get into the how we deal with the toxic people, I think again with this discernment, the I keep having to look at my notes for this. Sorry for the, I love this, cultivating discernment. I think even with food and chemicals we put in our bodies,
yes.
I never thought about how much it affects your moods and emotions. I'm at a point now where I know, Rosie, if I go out drinking one night now or do anything to alter my mind, the next day, I'm not the same. I'm short, I'm cranky, I'm tired. No matter what I do in my mind to be aware of that, I just know. And I'm learning that now even about foods that I put into my body and how they're affecting my moods, my swings. So can we talk about that? Because I think that kind of awareness and discernment needs to come in if we're going to kind of build a healthier foundation on which to build upon.
Yeah. I mean, look, you said it. It is your body, your brain is going to react differently when you are putting toxins in. The more toxins you put in, the harder it's going to be for you to focus and to feel good in your body. I mean, your body is going to react different on a donut than it is on broccoli. And look, I love donuts. I love Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, like, donuts. Trust me, like, I'm all about having a donut here and there, but it's gonna create a different reaction.
You just have that awareness to know that, okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, but that's the thing, yeah. Kevin. I mean, like, it's not about, what is it? It's not about, like, keeping things away. Like, a lot of the times people think, oh, I have to cut everything out. I'm gonna party this weekend, and then on Monday I'm gonna not have anything. Why do we have to go to extremes? And I think that's 100% the reasons why things fail most of the time, is because we go through these extremes. Right. We go from one to the next, and then it doesn't work like that. That's why I keep talking about, so we have to be able to discern. I can have, you know, whatever you enjoy, a glass of wine, and, you know, eat really a healthy meal, and then just understand how my body reacts. The problem is that most people don't pay attention to how the things that they're consuming makes them feel. And it's not just the food, right? It's not just the food that we're consuming. It's also the people that are around us. They're thinking that we're consuming.
We're going to get to the people too. Can you tell me some of the foods that, that kind of will help? You know, that, I mean, I know it's probably just basics, but what did you do in your diet? Do you do like 80% good foods and 20% like fun foods?
Yeah.
Like?
So back when I was getting healthy, I just went straight vegetarian for about a year. Okay. And then I reintroduced meat back into my diet. And I do mostly plant-based, but I still, you know, incorporate meat here and there. But I would say if you could do at least 70% of your food, greens, fruits, nuts, just things that come from the ground, I think it's going to create a different reaction in your body. The less preservatives, the better. The cleaner, the better. Some people don't have access. I mean, I say that back in the day, 10 years ago, or even 15 years ago, when I would do these talks, we'd have all these food deserts, but now you can find organic produce pretty much anywhere. I mean, Tori and I went on a really long road trip. We went up to Montana, and every place we would stop, we would see organic produce. The less, you know, toxins are in the stuff that you eat, the less toxins your body is going to have to digest. So our digestive system, our internal system, is this magical machine that takes things in. And you have to think about it like the things that you're consuming on an external level. The better quality they are, the more whole and nutritious they are, the easier it is for your body to digest. Part of what I love about food, I mean, I love food. I'm Mexican as well. So I love good, like, Mexican. I live in LA, and so, you know, like, we have some of the best Mexican food in LA.
Best.
To me, anytime we go into the state of taking something out, it always feels like a punishment, right? It always feels like, oh, I'm gonna take out, I'm not gonna drink any more wine for a month, or I'm not gonna do this. I think giving yourself a break is good, but I think that doing things, if you're the type of person that can do things incrementally, then try it. If you're the type of person that needs to be extreme, then try that. But again, going back to the discernment, what is going to serve you the most? Which method is going to serve you the most? Mm-hmm. And only you know that. Only the people listening to this, only we know that for ourselves. If I say, I'm not going to have any more chocolate for a month, I know that's not going to happen, because I know there's going to be those moments where I'm really tired, and I'm laying in bed and we're watching a show or something, and I'm going to want dessert. I have to have dessert after like every meal. And so for me, not having that little bit of chocolate is going to create a negative reaction. I'm going to get crabby. I'm going to get upset. I'm not going to be able to focus on anything, because I'm just going to be obsessed. I've had eating disorders the majority of my teens and 20s. So food can be a very contentious topic for me. So what I've learned for myself that's worked for me is to have little things throughout the day, so I don't feel like I'm punishing myself, or I'm depriving myself of having something that I want. You know, it's like too much of everything is going to be a toxin. It's the difference between medicine and poison is dose. So if we're able to have a little bit of, you know, wine, a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of something. The minute that we go overboard and it's like five bottles of wine later and a whole, you know, dozen of something, it's going to become a toxin to you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think that we, unfortunately, we underrate the toxicity involved with all of that and how it does affect us and our moods and everything else. Let's now, if it's okay, let's move on to, the toxic people that are in our lives and how vastly they affect us.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yes.
Actually, I'm curious for both of you guys, but what do you do when that toxic person or those toxic people are related to you?
Oh, you're talking to an older person who's been through this.
Yeah, Kev's good at this.
Yeah. They have to be distanced.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you know, the same person who told me to stop doing construction because I was like, it's making me so depressed and make me feel like such a failure that I'm no longer an Emmy award winning head writer or whatever I was. And he said, stop doing it. He was the same one when I asked that question of him. And he said, you distance yourself. And I said to him, yeah, but, you know, but what do you do when it's blood and you're bonded? And again, you know, from strong ethnicities, we're very tribal, yes. Mexican cultures, mm-hmm. Greeks, Jewish, Italians. It's like you're taught that blood is blood. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget this guy, by the way, amazing man, gay man, husband of like 22 years. And was, you know, raised by his grandmother, who was like 106 or 107 when she died. She was like an older mom who was then an older grandmother. So this guy had wisdom beyond wisdom. And he just said to me, I'll never forget it. I'm like, but what do you do? Because family and it's blood and you're bonded and there's such a deep connection and you just can't ignore that. And he said, Kevin, at the end of the day, he said, sweetie, they're just people you grew up with. Ooh. How's that for a need of the... I was like, what? And you know what, though, Rosie and Kelsey? They're just people you grew up with. Now, when you get the amazing mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, oh my God, honor them. Be there for them. When I see it, I love it. I get so excited. I have been adopted by many families who have that. And I'm the you know, like, so, and I love it. And I joke with my mom. This is my joke with my mother. Very politically incorrect joke, maybe. But I say to my mom, because I have a great relationship with my mother. We talk every day. And but I don't really talk to the rest of the family, the cousins, the, you know. And I just say, you know, I go, Mom, think of me as the gay son that the family, like, ostracized and won't talk to anymore, but you and I have a great relationship. I take you shopping, I spoil you, and she's like, stop it, that's not funny. And she's laughing. But I will say to my mother when the joking ends, I go, Mom, it's just me and you. And what's wrong with that? We're besties, we're close. I'm here. You know, I'm on a plane. I'll be at your doorstep in 7 hours. You know, if I'm in LA, and if I'm not in LA, I can be there even faster. And she knows that about me. You know, so like we got something good. Let's just honor that. And the older she's gotten, the more she's like, you know what? You're right. Like, so, but it's really, really hard because all of the things that have been drilled into us. And then I'm a deeply sentimental person. I still like to talk to people from first grade. I am. And then I have that other thing, which is again, part of my ethnicity is got to be loyal. So yeah. I have people, you know, who've called me down and out, and I'm like, all right, I'm there. And like, I hadn't talked to them in 20 years, but I'm like, no, we went through some, we have a trauma bond. We went through this hard neighborhood together. So it's not easy, but I promise things will get better. And I will say that to my mom, look at my life the past 2 decades without these people. And then let's look at my life with them. Okay. With them bankrupt. Living pretty much in a van, borderline homeless. If I didn't have a wonderful lady who let me and Maria live in her unfinished basement next to a burner on a twin mattress on the floor, you know, if I didn't have, you know, and I'm like, that was my life with them. Now let's look at my life now. Do you really think it's a coincidence? My mother, thank God, is a very highly educated woman, feminist, very, so thank God she's very progressive. I'm like, Mom, do you really think it's a coincidence that I cut all this out and have all these wonderful blessings in life? And she's like, no. And I said, and you, I know you love me. She's like, of course I love you, Kevin. Okay, then you really want to roll that dice? You really want to roll that dice? Let open Pandora's box, let all that back in and see me lose everything. But now I'm like in my mid 50s and I got to win it all back. And I go, and I know it's in the back of your head. You know, I would, and I would, but I don't want to win it all back. I don't want to have to go through that again.
Yeah.
So my advice is, I know it's really hard, guys. And there's ways to do it. You know, you don't, it's like the chocolate. Yes. Like you said, Rosie, you don't have to cut it out, but you distance. There's ways to do it. You know, I always like when I'm around people in New England, I go, just talk about the Patriots. just talk about the Patriots. Just, you know what I mean? You just keep, you know, you keep finding those subjects. And I will tell you, you can, the problem is with, you're going to have Rosie and Kelsey's going to have, Maria's going to have, I'm going to have. And if you, even Tony Robbins is estranged from many of his family members, but it's when you go on the road less traveled, it's really, it's hard. You're the weirdo.
Yeah.
You're the strange one because you, and what you don't, may you probably realize this, Rosie, but most people don't realize is that you're pushing all of their buttons of insecurity.
Yeah.
You're making them look at themselves on all things they're doing wrong. So it's much more fun and easy for them to have you on the merry-go-round playing the role you were supposed to play, which was the punk in the family, the rabbit, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That's easier for them. And then when they see you learning and growing and you know, and what's sad is if they could shift, be happy and proud of it and come on the bandwagon with you, they'd go to the moon too, faster than anybody because they're in. But unfortunately, ego gets in the way and they're like, no, no, no. You get back on the bar stool next to me or back wherever you, what they wanted to make you comfortable. So it's you, if you can't totally cut it out, you physically distance, you find ways to distance less and less. And when you do get together, you just keeping it back, you bring it back to the Patriots or whatever, like subject is just kind of like Teflon-ish. And at some point they'll know that they kind of, it becomes a habit where they know they're not going to be able to get a handle on you.
Right.
Now I will say, unfortunately, many toxic loved ones, and by the way, I'm saying friends from high school, friends from college, I'm saying all of it, not just your cousins and your brothers and sisters, but I've, in my experience, at some point they still try to get, they won't stop. They got to keep trying and it's just distance. And then, you know, it's having that inner strength to go, I can make it without them. With you, Rosie, look what you did without them, what you did on your own. And having that confidence like, hey, the you know, family is who you make it, which it is, you know. And I will say, I've said to my mom, like, Mom, do you want me to name all my brothers and sisters? And then you want me to then go into my cousins? Like, because you know the list is long. I mean, you know, Joe Gere is my brother. Like we've known each other for 30 years. I still don't understand this. I had three guys when we were in a bad neighborhood in LA trash our car on the last night. I think they found out Maria got her big break at ET and were jealous. So they like trashed our car. And I wanted to fist fight the three of them and I didn't because I was trying to change my ways. So I'm like, and I just was so sad and depressed. I'm like, it's just never going to end. And even though it's a 6-hour flight from Boston to LA, in 5 hours, Joe was there and at their doorstep. This Irish like street fighter. He's like 250 pounds. But like, to me, that's my brother. And I have several people like that. Stevens, my younger brother, who's on the phone right now. I am so blessed with that of people who have my back and whose back I have in with them. I couldn't be more grateful. So why would I want someone else who's, you know, angry, jealous, stealing from me, trying to take from me, make me feel bad about myself? Like, no, I'm good. And so it takes time educating a parent, unfortunately. If it's not the parent, it's siblings. Sometimes it's the parent, but you have to hold your ground and stand tall. And eventually they come around. If you hold your ground, the good ones will come around and go, okay, I accept that, you know, I accept your sister for her warts and all, and I accept you for yours. And I wish you guys were close, but you're not. Yeah. But they'll test you to try to pull you back onto that merry-go-round. That's where you have to be strong and resist. But your life will get better without them.
Yeah. And I think, God, that's so beautiful. I mean, that because I think it's so important for us to recognize when that is happening. And I always make fun, well, not always, but the last year and a half, like I've been practicing social distance for 20 years, especially when it comes to toxic people and people that I don't want in my life. Yes. And the reason why I ask, it's really hard when it is somebody that you're related to, because people have asked me before, well, how do you break up with a toxic person, with a toxic friend or a toxic relationship, a toxic family member? And for some people, they need to have that conversation and say, I can't be your friend anymore. I can't be around you. Mm-hmm. And some people just have a really hard time.
I don't recommend that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't either. I mean, I
think
couldn't
some
have
people
it.
Think that, well, I think some people think they need to vent and all that. And I say,
you don't.
No, because all you do is, if they are in fact toxic, all you've just done is arm them to make them even more. No, I think it's best to find it in your heart to wish them, genuinely wish them well. Mm-hmm. Not that old, like, you know what? I wish you well. Go on. No, it's not really, you know, I'll pray for you. You know, when people say those things and it's really the underlying thing is F you. No, I mean, genuinely be like, I want good things for you. But, and you say this to yourself, but, you know, our paths are no longer aligned and you go and live your journey. I'm going to go live mine. And that's it. And I know, I think it's just a fading away. I'm busy. I'm overwhelmed. If they corner you and you have to say it, then I think you say it in the most loving, constructive way. But again, most of the time they're not ready to hear it. So then they open up on you and you're like, wait, I didn't do this conversation. And fine, I've done these all before. And if they give you that beating in the moment, just take it. But just get the F away. just get away. And if you can find a way to wish, your life will get better if you wish them well. If you genuinely wish them well in your heart, which now I do for those people. And that's helped me. You know, that's helped me to genuinely be like, you know, I want them to do well. And listen, you can, it does want, you know, you can reconcile sometimes. I have some people with the pandemic that it's been decades, maybe a decade, and I've reconciled with. But you know what? Yeah. Only because I'm now a different person and I can handle them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not a weak person. I'm not weak in that respect where their toxicity is going to hurt me.
Right.
It's not, it's like we talk about the Patriots. You know what I mean? It's fine. Like they're not in my world. They're not connected. I think the one thing is, you know, when you ask yourself about certain people, if they could check a box, you know, Rosie succeeds, Rosie fails, and they're the person who checks Rosie fails, get away from them.
Yes.
If they're just difficult to be around or whatever, make your distance, but know that you might later might be able to, for old time's sake, I don't know, have a beer or a conversation with them and just have a laugh, and it's okay. But if it's those people that really, really want, do not want anything good for you, and then even worse, they want harm on you. No,
yeah,
get away.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to be able to see who and what those
relationships are. The discernment.
A lot of the times,
that's what you said.
You're talking about this loyalty, and I get that. I mean, I have people that have been in my life since.
I mean, a neighborhood girl, Mexican neighborhood girl. You know, just being chased by police and probably even abused by police at times. You go, no, I gotta back my people, my team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those people may not serve your highest good. And it's important.
Right.
And the hard part for us, especially if you're this type of loyal person and you keep making excuses for why you're friends with these people, if anybody can relate to that.
All of us.
Because, oh, I've known them for a long time, or we've gone through things together. Yeah. And, you know, Just like you said, people, there's, I like to say it in two ways. It's like people change, and then people can change, right? So people change. They are a different person. Maybe that changed person is no longer going to serve you.
Or you've changed. That's the big thing, is most of the time they're not changing. It's you're changing because you're on your journey and your growth, and they're not. But continue, Rosie.
Yeah, no, I have like three things that I always tell myself whenever I'm assessing whether I want a person in my life. And it's not like I'm constantly assessing. I mean, as I said, I'm a loyalist and I have the same group of friends. And fortunately, it's just like in a relationship. You and Maria have been together forever. Your relationship has evolved and changed. You grow together, you grow apart. You grow together, you grow apart. And it just, over time, the same with my relationship with Tori. After 18 years, we've gone through ups and downs together. And I think when it comes to just relationships in general, you have to ask yourself three things. Do you desire to spend time with this person? There has to be a desire. Mm-hmm. Do you desire to see or speak or be in the presence of this person? And does this person make you feel like a better person? Do they uplift you? Do you feel like you're a better version of you? Even in the simple conversation where you're discussing how you liked watching The Bachelor or whatever, does it make you feel like uplifted? Do you feel light? Do you feel like this makes you feel good? And then the third thing is, does this relationship, does it hold you? Do you feel held? Do you feel supported energetically or physically? So if the person in your life or the people in your life aren't doing those three things, then you need to reassess how you are allocating your time, because the most valuable thing we have in this lifetime is time. That is the most valuable asset we have, right? So how are you allocating your time? Are you giving the people that you maybe want to change or help, or your friends that you're like, oh, they just really need me right now? I'm not saying don't be that person, but it's important for you to assess, do you have the energy to give? I had a very dear friend, same scenario, Kevin, that you're talking about, where we're very close and we talked all the time. And I just, you know, she had been going through some stuff a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years later. I'm like, I just don't have the energy to give to the same conversation because I'm changing and I'm doing the work to be a better person and show up, you know, in the relationship. Yes. And they are just wanting to latch on to the work that I'm doing. And you can't do that. We want to be around people that are inspiring and that are enthusiastic about life, because we're hoping that that will inspire and create the enthusiasm within ourselves. But we have to do the work. Going back to the quote that you read at the beginning, our biggest fear is that we might not be willing to work that hard. But unless we do, we'll never value it. We won't value what we work so hard for unless we're actually willing to do the work to get to that place, to become that person that is wanting to help people, be of service, that wants to inspire, that wants to create good. And I'm not saying you have to be a walking, you know, mantra of positivity all the time. I mean, everybody, we're all human.
Right.
But a lot of the times we're just one-sided in our relationships. We're just thinking of how everybody else is making us feel, but we don't stop to think, oh, how am I showing up for them? What am I bringing to the table?
Yes.
You know, how am I showing, how am I being a good friend? How am I, when was the last time I actually checked in and said, hey, Kev, like, how are you doing? Like, how are you? How is your heart? How are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. That's the give and take.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Maria Menounos or MariaMenounos.com is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions expressed or contained herein are not intended to serve as or replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury, and you should consult the healthcare professional of your choice regarding all matters concerning your health, including before beginning any exercise, weight loss, or healthcare program. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Any information or opinions provided by a guest expert or host featured within website or on company's podcast are their own, not those of Maria Menounos or the company. Accordingly, Maria Menounos and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on information or opinions. This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Maria Menounos or MariaMenounos.com is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions expressed or contained herein are not intended to serve as or replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury, and you should consult the healthcare professional of your choice regarding all matters concerning your health, including before beginning any exercise, weight loss, or healthcare program. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Any information or opinions provided by a guest expert or host featured within website or on company's podcast are their own, not those of Maria Menounos or the company. Accordingly, Maria Menounos and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on information or opinions.
Well, that's it for today, Heal Squad. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you don't forget to take care of yourself today. I'll be making sure I'm not forgetting to get outside, do my meditations, and of course, keep myself fueled with some sweet chili, wonderful pistachios. Wonderful pistachios, as you know, are my go-to when hunger strikes because they're one of the highest protein nuts, providing all 9 essential amino acids, and they're great for on-the-go snacking. So when you're ready to elevate your snacking game, visit wonderfulpistachios.com to grab a bag.